The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, Mrs. Cavanaugh. Let's take our Bible and go back, if you will, tonight. I want us to look here in the scriptures about our Lord Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, I'm going to read this one first since you're probably still there. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 37, the Bible says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Now, you need not to turn back to Mark. I do want to read it again for emphasis sake. Mark chapter 14 and verse 33, the Bible says, "And he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed." Now listen to what it says right here, "and to be very heavy." The Bible teaches that there was a time in the Lord's life when he was very heavy. Now today, as we see that in our civilization right here, continental U.S., there's a lot of pressure on people. And sometimes people find themselves underneath a heavy load. Goes a little step farther, sometimes people actually get depressed. And so what I want to do is I want to speak tonight on understanding and dealing with depression. Understanding and dealing with depression. We were in California. We were flying down in California on a Monday, preached here on Sunday. We're in the plane flying down to California. Somewhere in the midst of our flight, about 9 a.m., 9:30-ish, there was an actor by the name of Robin Williams that decided he was going to take his own life by hanging. They said in doing research about this man that this man was somebody that was very funny, of course, somebody that had received many Academy Awards and such like, but they also said something about him in his personal life that is very interesting. And that is, he was a man that was highly depressed. He was a man that would go through spurts of deep depression. Many believe that was his close friends and relatives, that the reason that he hung himself was because he found himself at a depressive state that was very, very low. I remember when I was in high school, there was a young man, he had tuberculosis. He was not one of my best friends, but I knew him. I'd visited in his home. I remember sitting beside him one time, and it was after I became a Christian, and I gave him the gospel the best way I knew how. But I remember that when he died of tuberculosis before graduating high school, that he had a best friend that happened to be my neighbor on the old farm. Where I grew up was a farmland area for the first couple of years. This young man was a best friend to the man that died of tuberculosis. I remember hearing the story about how this young man became superly down, and he went into the barn just a couple of days later after this young man had died and hung himself. What happened was he became depressed. They say that 19 million Americans, that's about 10% of the U.S. population age 18 and over, suffer from a form of depression every year. The fastest growing market for that which is antidepressants, a med that is taken for those that find themselves in a state of depression and they choose to treat it with medication, is preschoolers. Over 1 million preschoolers are clinically depressed every single year. That's an annual rate of an increase of 23% in children. Depression will cost people their jobs. Many employers say that on an average, it costs the American businessman $51 billion a year just because of the loss of time of people not showing up because they're depressed. The antidepressant medicine that is taken, they say, works in 35 to 45% of the population. Recent figures show that it only works in about 30%. Of the population. Prozac and Zoloft and other type of meds that is taken has serious side effects, one of which is suicide, violence, another, all sorts of abdominal bleeding and sometimes even brain tumors. Martin Luther, of course, he was a man that was a reformer. Martin Luther had 3 days of dark, black, evil depression in his life. On the third day, his wife went walking in and brought him clothes for mourning. He said, "Why are you bringing me mourning clothes?" He said to her, "It's because God must be dead. Because you're in a stupor of depression, God must be dead." He rose up, rushed out of the room, and said, "God is not dead, it's over." He made a decision. Can I say tonight, as we understand what depression is all about, you can make some decisions tonight. And you can trust God that will help you with these things. Let me give you some things about depression, and then we're going to dissect it tonight. Sometimes depression is caused by a physical change. You'll read in 1 Kings chapter 18 and chapter 19 that there was the story of Elijah. Elijah, of course, had approached and had battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. It was a very exasperating time. It was a time where physically he was tested to the max. Then you'll find out that he runs from Jezebel for over 100 miles, already just exasperated physically. And so you'll see that there was a time in his life when he even said to the Lord, "Oh, why don't you just go ahead and take my life?" Now, why? It might have been because he was just physically exhausted. When somebody gets physically exhausted, sometimes it will cause them to think things that they ought not to think. Sometimes because there's a relationship change. Maybe you lose your dad, you lose your mom, maybe there's a divorce, maybe you lose your best friend, maybe you lose somebody that means something great to you, maybe you're engaged, getting ready to get married, and all of a sudden the engagement breaks off. Maybe you do get married, and once you do get married, your spouse comes down with cancer, and it's a short-lived type of marriage, and now all of a sudden a depression sets in simply because there's a relationship change. You know, the Bible talks about Solomon over in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verses 1 through 8, where the Bible says that Solomon looked back over his life. By the way, Solomon had more than the average guy. If you were going to look at success and judge it by material possessions, he had it, but yet he looked back over his life and he said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." And so here was Solomon, and Solomon had some relationship changes that changed his life. You think about Jeremiah. If you look in the book of Jeremiah, you have 5 chapters, if you will, please, there in the book. And you'll see this in Lamentations, if you will. 5 chapters in Lamentations that describes Jeremiah's life. You'll see, of course, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. It's very interesting to find out that chapter 1 has 22 verses, chapter 2 has 22 verses, chapter 4 and 5 has 22 verses, chapter 3 has 66 verses, that's 22, 22, and 22, or 22 if you would please, all the way through. Here's what you see, that Greek alphabet is all the way through. And as you understand this, here's what he's doing. He's lamenting all the way through. You find here was a man that was full of sorrow, and I wonder why. He had a burden that would not go away. Sometimes the relationships that we have with others, even that burden that we have for other people, sometimes will drag us to the point of depression. Sometimes an environmental or a circumstance change. Sometimes a change of house, moving somewhere, maybe a change of a job. Sometimes those things will cause depression in a person's life. Sometimes a poor self-concept. Somebody says that some people suffer from stinking thinking. What is that? That's a poor self-concept. Let me give you some ideas, however, how you and I can overcome and understand depression. Take your Bible and let's notice it. Let's go to the book of Matthew, if you will, chapter 26. Look at verse 36. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place of Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And so here he says to the disciples, those that are with them, that's Peter, James, and John, "Why don't you just sit here?" Now, here's what we understand. When facing a downtime, a heaviness in your life, a time of depression, here's what you find out that Jesus did. Jesus, number one, did not isolate himself. He did not isolate himself. He took Peter, James, and John with him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 37, the Bible says, and he took with him Peter, it says, and the two sons of Zebedee. The Bible says, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And so here Jesus is, he's getting ready to face a traumatic time in his life, but here's what he's doing. He's bringing somebody else, he's getting somebody else to be able to help him. Here's what I find out. Many times when a person goes through a state of depression, many times they cannot handle it by themselves. They need a pastor to help them, or they need a counselor to help them, to be able to help them, to be able to make it through. Now the Lord sought these men to be able to go with him. And so here he is, a time of heaviness in his life. And what does he do? He gets these men. He did not isolate himself. Now, if you're married, listen, confide in the husband. If you're married, confide in the wife. If you are a child, confide in your parent. Don't face the heavy times in your life. Don't face them all by yourself. Be able to go and talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to your dad, talk to your mom, talk to that which is your parent, talk to that which is your child, but you don't have to go through it by yourself. Now, by the way, you have somebody that even if mom and daddy is gone, that sticks with you closer than a brother. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus. And we'll get to that in a minute. Now, watch this, if you will. So Jesus did not isolate himself. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest I also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think, listen to himself, to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The problem is we think we can handle it all. I mean, after all, come on, we're Americans. We're the country that goes and rescues every other country. We're the ones that are strong. We're the ones that have the answer. We're the ones that can solve all the problems. So we think. But when there comes a time that you find yourself and you're under that excessive heaviness like our Lord, when you find yourself, if you would please, in our state, as we may take it a little bit farther than what our Lord was facing, and we would actually call that a point of depression, can I tell you, the answer is still the same. Here's what you do. You do not isolate yourself. You get this. If I was drowning, I'm going to get help. If I was going down for the third time, bubble, 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 I'm going to get some help. I'm going to try and get somebody to come along and somebody to help me and somebody to encourage me and somebody to pick me up and somebody to set me on the right path. I'm saying tonight, listen to me, when you face heaviness in your life, that's why God gave you a husband. That's why God gave you a wife. That's why God gave you a friend. That's why God gave you a pastor. That's why God gave you a bus captain. That's why God gave you a Sunday school teacher. That's why God gave you a teacher at the Christian school. That's why God gave a godly mama and a godly daddy. I'm saying tonight, do not isolate yourself when it comes to that which is a heavy time in your life. Amen. Statement number two, here's what we see. Jesus did not put on a mask and pretend everything was okay. He did not just pretend and it go away. Here's what the Bible says. Look at your Bible, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. The Bible says, then saith he unto them, my soul, watch it, then saith he, Jesus, unto them, those that were with him. Here's what it says. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. So he didn't mask it. He didn't say, well, everything's okay. After all, I'm the Lord. Everything's okay. Look, got it under control. Here's what he did. He turned to those that was beside him and said, look, I want you to know I'm exceeding heavy. He said, this is a heavy thing for me. He said, wait a minute, it is so sorrowful, even unto death. He said, tarry ye here. Now, by the way, if the Lord needed somebody to tarry beside him during this time of heaviness in his life, then how much more do you not being the Lord? If he needed somebody to walk beside him at that time, how much more do you need somebody to walk beside you during your time? Here's what we understand. Statement number one, Jesus did not isolate himself. Heaviness in his life. Statement number two, he did not put a mask on and pretend that everything was okay. Statement number three, he prayed and was honest with God. Nobody understands you, beloved, like God. Your husband doesn't understand you. Your wife doesn't understand you. Your child does not understand you. Your parent does not understand you as much as God. There's going to be times when you try to explain yourself to your dad or your mom, your brother, your sister. There's going to be times when you try to explain yourself to your husband or to your wife, and they sit there looking at you kind of dumb because they do not know what you're going through. You're sitting there and you're crying, and they say, "What's wrong?" And here's what you say: "I can't explain it. I like to be able to tell you, but I can't explain it." Now, if we were honest tonight, every single one of us has been through such a time. And can I tell you, you will go through it again. Now, at that time, here's what you do. Do what Jesus did. Jesus prayed and was honest with God. Look at verse 39. The Bible says that he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father." What's he doing? He's turning to God. Now, don't be so hooked on yourself. Don't be so cocky, so arrogant, so full of pride that you cannot rely on God. "Well, I think I've got it all together, and I'll figure it out." Bubba, you've not figured it out yet. You probably won't figure it out. I mean, how's it going in your life right now? You've already messed it up. Don't mess it up more. You get along with God, and you let God help you. Stop being in pretense something more than you are. You know, sometimes I think we try to pretend to be somebody else so much that people are really missing who we are because we're never there. Hey, forget about it. Don't try and be somebody else. You ever read in your Bible where the Bible says that you're fearfully, finish it, and wonderfully,
made.
Talk to me, fearfully and wonderfully,
made.
Don't try to pretend to be somebody else. "Well, I want you to know that I'm just as sharp as." Who cares? "Well, preacher, I want you to know that I'm just as intelligent as." Who cares? "Well, I've got so much money in my bank." Who cares? God said some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Over in Psalm 18 and verse 6, the Bible says, "In my distress, he said, I called upon the Lord. He said, I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple." And it says, "My cry," it says, "came before him, even into his ears." Hey, you can cry and he'll hear. Daddy doesn't understand you, but God does. Mama doesn't understand you, but God does. Your friend does not understand you, but I tell you tonight, according to that which is the living word of God, you've got a God in heaven that loves you, cares about you, understands you, is simply waiting for you to call upon him, and he'll be near unto the person that calls upon him. You've just got to get busy and call upon him. I'm saying tonight, Jesus did not isolate himself when he was under heaviness. Jesus did not put a mask on and just pretend everything is okay. Jesus prayed, and he was honest with God. Why don't you get honest with God? Hey, you're honest with everybody else, but you never talk to him. You're honest with your texting buddies. You're honest with your Facebooking. You're honest with your telephone conversations. And God says, "Why don't you talk to me? Why don't you come to me and tell me your problems?" Don't you think that God has more power than your friend? Don't you think that God has more power than your Facebook buddy? I'm saying tonight, Jesus prayed and he was honest with God. Statement number next. Jesus did not get, think about it, Jesus did not get trapped into blaming others who could not understand or bear his burden. I see people all the time get bitter towards somebody else. Well, they should understand me. You don't even understand you. You can't even explain you. How do you expect somebody that has equal intelligence, a little less or a little more, to understand you? You know, the more I study people, to find out it's true. People are complicated. Yeah. You know, men have mood swings also. You hear them saying, no. That's a whine right there. No. Hey, men have mood swings too. Men come in sometimes from work on top side, sometimes on bottom side. Come on. I'm not going to embarrass your daddy, but I wonder how many teenagers could raise their hand tonight to attest to the fact, yes, my dad does have mood swings. I wonder how many young people could raise their hand tonight to say, yes, my mom does have mood swings. I wonder how many people know you and says, yes, they do have mood swings. Now, can I tell you the honest truth here? Don't get trapped in blaming somebody else. I've said often, you see a bunch of people in a huddle, they're out there in the hallway, they're talking, and you walk by and they're quiet. Please don't think that you're so important that the conversation was about you. Now don't do that. They might have went brain dead when you walked by because of your holiness. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 40, the Bible says, and he cometh unto disciples and findeth them asleep. How depressing. Now, come on, guys, come with me. I'm heavy. Come on, guys, come with me. I'm very heavy, tells his disciples. I'm sorrowful, even unto death. Goes a little bit farther, calls upon God himself, comes back. They care so much, they're asleep. I mean, here's Jesus saying, I'm sorrowful. I'm heavy, even unto death. And he comes back and the guys are snoring. Man, what friends. Watch this. The Bible says, and he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? I mean, couldn't you just stay awake for 1 hour, Peter? I mean, don't you understand? I'm heavy, sorrowful unto death. And you're Peter. By the way, this is the same Peter that said, Lord, I'd be willing to go to prison for you. Lord, I'd be willing to die for you. And here he couldn't stay awake for 1 hour. Bible says here in verse 41, the Bible says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then the Bible says in verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. So he went away, thought, man, I'm going to give them a little bit of inspiration. I'm going to inspire them. I'm going to encourage them. Hey, look, stay awake. Don't you understand that the spirit, he's indeed willing. Your spirit's indeed willing, but your flesh is weak. Stay awake. Comes back a little bit later, sound asleep. Look at it, verse 44. Matthew chapter 26. The Bible says, and he left them, went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. So he didn't rebuke them. He didn't say, well, you don't understand me. You're my friend, and you're not upset like I'm upset. You're not experiencing heaviness like I'm experiencing heaviness. You must not be a true friend. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus simply went alone. He didn't get mad at them. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get in their face. He didn't shout at them. He just left them alone. He just left them alone. He went his way and he prayed. Jesus did not get trapped into blaming others who could not understand or bear his burden. Well, you must not be my true friend or you would understand. Don't do that to somebody. It's not fair. Just not fair. Well, you know, if you really cared, you would. Don't do that to your husband. It's not fair. Well, you know, if you really loved me, you would. Don't do that to your wife. That's just not fair. Well, you're my parents, and you ought to know that I... Don't do that to your parents. It's just not fair. Here's what the Bible says. Look at it in chapter 26. Look at verse 42. The Bible says that Jesus prayed through until he received strength from God. Love this, don't you? The Bible says, and he went away again, second time, and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup shall not pass away from me except I drink it, says, Thy will be done. Look at verse 44. The Bible says, and he left them and went again. The Bible says, and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. See, here's what we find out about the Lord. The Lord was willing to accept whatever God dished out to him. You'll understand this about the Lord. As he prayed through, and he received strength, not from his friends. Now, thank God for friends that are temporal. But can I tell you, that's all friends are? Hey, thank God for friends. God brings friends in your life for three purposes. Sometimes for a reason. They're just there a little time. It might be a pat on the back as you're walking down the hallway. And might be a pat on the back. Anyway, you guys don't care. You're walking down the hallway. They walk up beside you as you're walking down the hallway. They say, man, it is great to see you. Hey, that's a reason. Sometimes God will send somebody special in your life for a reason. You get up to sing and you actually hit the note. And somebody comes up, they pat you on the back, say, man, way to go, way to go. High five, way to. They're there for a reason. Sometimes God will send somebody in your life for a season. They're there for a more lengthy time. Maybe they're there for a month. It's a season. Maybe they're there for 3 months. Might be there for a year. Might be in your life for, I remember when I was in Bible college, I had several friends in Bible college. During about the 3-4 years I was in Bible college there, receiving education, you listen to me, had some friends. They were there for a season. I've never seen them since. They went their way serving the Lord. I went my way serving the Lord. We've never crossed paths. Never. Okay, but they were there for 4 years. For 4 years, we walked down the college hallway. For 4 years, we served on bus routes. For 4 years, we had preaching stations. For 4 years, we walked people down the aisle. For 4 years, we got people involved in discipleship. For 4 years, we helped people follow the Lord, of course, in baptism prior to the discipleship. We served together. Then all of a sudden, they were gone. I was gone. Sometimes God will send somebody in your life for a season. Then sometimes God will send somebody in your life for a lifetime. Mrs. Wells and I have been married now over 30 years. I think we're lifers. I think we're lifers. Okay, lifetime. Lifetime. All my children are still my children. I haven't disowned any of them. Well, yet. Lifetime. Lifetime. So sometimes God will send friends in your life. But wait a minute, can I tell you, all that is still temporal. Because Brother Nash is as good a health as you're in. You don't have to wear the yellow socks tonight. But one day you're going to die. Brother Jonathan, youngest guy on staff. Man, one day, you'll be dead. Trying to cheer you up. The other day, Brother Palmore, man, went to the hospital. Evidence right here.
Yes, amen.
Went to the hospital. I told him, I got in there. I said, man, want to have some fun? Want to have some fun? So he laid on the bed. I said, let me pretend. I put my hands on his chest like this. Somebody snapped it. He's laying on the bed like this. And then I got thinking about that. I thought, man, we can't let anybody see that. They'll think that I'm making fun of you in your predicament. So later on, I sent the picture to him. I said, you can have it. Then he showed the world. Okay, now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. Jesus thought to receive strength from God. He prayed through. Jesus decided, here's what, hey, it doesn't matter if anybody else listens. Hear me out. It doesn't matter if anybody else cares. It does not matter tonight. If your wife understands, doesn't understand, husband understands, doesn't understand, you've got a God in heaven that always understands. I'm saying tonight, Jesus prayed through and received strength from God. Why are you trying to receive strength from everybody else but God? Lastly, here I am. You ready? Jesus faced his crises and took action through God's strength. Now, he faced it. He didn't run from it. He faced it. Here's what the Bible says, same chapter, look at verse 45. The Bible says, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on. In other words, he said, it's okay, just sleep on. It's almost like saying, God and I, we have it. By the way, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Come on. Did you ever understand that you and God are the victory? Well, you know, I'm here in Bible college and I'm scared. You and God can make it. But preacher, I'm going to be a new college teacher this year at Lone Star Baptist College, and I'm scared. You and God can make it. Man, they've asked me to preach in chapel this year. I've never preached in chapel before. You and God can make it. Went out soul winning for the first time on Saturday. Never went out talking to people about Jesus before. You and God are the majority. You can make it. The Bible says in verse 45, chapter 26, the book of Matthew, then he cometh to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. He said, look, take it easy, it's okay. It's okay. All right, here we go. You ready? Hey, let's do it. Jonathan, you help me. Here we go. Youngest on staff, here we go. He represents Peter, James, and John. We're getting ready to go to Garden of Gethsemane. He's bearing his burden to the disciples. He's saying, look, man, I'm very heavy. Never been this heavy before. I'm sorrowful. Matter of fact, I'm telling you guys this. I am sorrowful unto death. This thing is so heavy on me, I feel like I'm going to die. Okay? So he's sharing his heart with them. They're walking closer and closer to Gethsemane together. Walking closer and closer together. He says, look, you stay here and pray. You guys stay here and pray. I'm going to go a little bit farther, and I'm going to pray. Now, he told them to stay and pray. He didn't say, now, you stay here and sleep. He said, you stay and pray. So he gets down on his knees. He begins to pray. The Lord goes over. He kneels, prays for about an hour. That's it. Not a long prayer. Comes back, and all of a sudden, the disciples are sound asleep. Sound asleep. So he comes over and he says to the disciples, hey, the spirit is willing. Spirit is willing. Flesh is weak. Can't you watch and pray for just an hour? Man, I was over there. Don't you remember? Man, we're walking along. I'm saying, look, I'm sorrowful. I'm heavy. Never been this heavy before. I am sorrowful and heavy even unto death. Can't you just watch and pray an hour? Go ahead. You pray. I'm going to go back. Okay? He goes back. He prays. He comes back over. Disciples are asleep. They're asleep. He comes back over and says, he doesn't chew them out, though. He doesn't get mad at them. Hey! Hey! You! What is your problem? Aren't you my friend? Oh! Don't you care? I've got this heavy burden. I was so sorrowful. I felt like I was gonna die. You don't even care. What type of friend are you? No, he didn't act immature like that. He didn't act selfishly that way. You know why? Because it wasn't about him. It was about he fulfilling the will of God. know, when somebody gets offended, somebody gets hurt, you know what it's always about? It's not the will of God. He said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It has nothing to do with the will of God. It's all selfishly, self-centered about them. That's why they got offended. Because their pride got hurt. Well, nanny, nanny, woo-woo. God bless you. Now watch this. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. Here we go. So Jesus faced the crises. Look at verse 46. Here's what he did. He says, sleep on. Look at verse 45. Sleep on. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Some bad things are about to happen. As far as in the physical body, wow. Look at verse 46. He says, rise and let us be going. Other words, hey, let's just do it. Let's just do it. Go into the hospital. They say, man, we've got to take your blood. Well, I'm afraid for you to take my blood. I need my blood. You pray and say, dear God, please help me. They're about to take my blood. And then you look at the doctor, the nurse, the practicing nurse, the intern, first day on the job, never been in a hospital before, and you say, let's go. Go ahead and take it. Okay? All right, now, I'm saying this. Here's what it says. He says, and let us, watch what it says, and let us be going. He says, behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. He said, I know what's going to happen. Let's just get it over with. I'm going to trust God. Now, can I tell you, there needs to come an attitude in your life where you say, I'm just going to trust God. God, nobody else understands me, but he does. But nobody else will see the way it is. He does. But nobody else can be able to read inside what's happening to me. He does. You have a God that cares about you. Well, okay, so you get home tonight, you get depressed. First thing most believers do, yes, even in this room. You go home tonight, something's not going right, you text your best friend. Like they can really change it. I learned a long time ago, why tell anybody your problems that does not have the authority to make change? When you start doing that, that's called gossip. Amen. And so, you know, you text somebody, they text back, praying for you, here's my advice, if you take it, it might work, but it never worked for me. Yeah. You get on Facebook where you show your face, because you tell the uttermost interior of your heart. So you get on there, somebody from who knows where, probably stationed on Mars somewhere, they Facebook back. Oh, you don't do that no more, do you? Okay. And so, all right, and what you're doing, you're asking for help from people. They can have sympathy for you. And sometimes I think that's what we want. We don't want help. We just want somebody to agree with us so we feel better about our time of distress. We don't really want help. We just want somebody else to be pulled into our mire so that we can have fellowship together as we sing. Okay, say, preacher, now you're meddling. Yeah, but it's so fun. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, so he goes over, gets the disciples. He goes over, he prays, comes back, they're asleep. He goes over to pray, comes back again, they're asleep. He doesn't get mad at them. He doesn't get irate with them. He says, okay, I'm just going to rely on God. And by the way, that is where it's really at. Nobody can sustain you like God. Well, you know, my parents, they're not in church. But somebody's got to be a light. Somebody's got to keep going. Closing testimony. Here I am. When I got saved, first believer in my home. Dad wasn't saved. Mom wasn't saved. None of my three brothers were saved. First believer in the home. Everybody else in my entire household, every relative I had on my dad's side, completely Catholic, not saved, didn't understand Christ. Wait a minute, watch this. Got saved, first believer in my home. I came home trying to do everything I could, bring them to Christ. Didn't work. Went to my pastor, said, what do I do? Things he told me, didn't work. Great man of God, didn't work. Went to my friends, said, hey, look, what do I do? Here's what I found out. If I got them to go see them later on and bathed it in prayer, I went to God. I went to Bible college every Friday. Never forget, me and Brother O'Neill would go upstairs to the weight room, and we had permission to be in the weight room from 10 o'clock to 12 midnight, and it was a time of prayer. And all I did, 10 o'clock to 12 midnight, I'd pray for Mom and Daddy to get saved. Gary O'Neill would join me. He would pray. I would pray. We'd pour our hearts out. We'd cry. We'd weep. God started working. Now, I didn't get mad at anybody. I didn't say, well, you know, why doesn't the neighbor who says he's saved go witness to my parents? I didn't do that. Gave it to God, prayed. God began to work through people's lives. Mama got saved. Daddy got saved. Brother got saved. Other brother got saved. My brother's son got saved and led my dad to Christ, or my other brother to Christ. Come on. I'm telling you, you got to get God involved. Because God is the only one that can help in times of heaviness.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.